This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Sunday, December 27, 2020. The Feast of the Holy Family, by Father William Doc Holliday.
He believed the Lord. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.
Amen. Those words, he believed the Lord, are applied to Abram. We read about him in the book of Genesis, the first reading today, and then the second reading in Hebrews, which is the Saints Hall of Fame. It is Abram again who is lauded for repeatedly his belief in what God says. Abraham believed God. What did he believe? Let's put this in context. This is important to do every time we approach Scripture. You have to put it in context. God made Abram a promise. He said, I am going to make your descendants more than you can count, more than the stars of the sky, more than the sand on the seashore. He said that to Abraham when he was 75 years old. Now, you got to be very trusting if you're 75 years old and your wife's about your age to hear that you're going to have that many children. But Abram believed God. That's from actually Genesis chapter 12. We read Genesis chapter 15 this afternoon. Genesis chapter 15 is many years later, so he's much older than 75, and God again says, I'm going to give you this, that, and the other thing, and you're going to have more descendants. This is the first time Abram, this man of faith, ever has, let us call, a misgiving about what God says. He actually says, God, Lord, you said you're going to bless me with a bunch of stuff, that I'm going to pass it on, I'm going to have more descendants. And all I have right now is a servant that lives in my house. God doesn't look at him, and he is wont to do this on occasion when people question him, to say, basically, shut up, you know, I'll do what I'm going to do. He doesn't say that to Abram, he just repeats the promise. And it says, Abram believed him. This has got to do with the Holy Family, it's Holy Family Day. The promise is about a family. It gets us to start understand that God is the foundation of our families. He and his will ultimately dictate. You can get married. We're going to have 12 kids and you don't have any. Or you get married. Oh, you know, however God blesses us. We've got three. And then all of a sudden, they have 12. It's not really up to us. It's up to God. We need to believe what he says, and we need to not only believe, but actually engage with. By that, I mean, do what he says. When he told Abraham that he was going to have more descendants, he didn't leave it that. And that wasn't even, hey, I'm going to give you more descendants, but you have to do this. You got to leave your family. You got to leave your family. You got to leave your home and wander about the desert aimlessly for decades. And sometime during that time, you'll be blessed, in a nutshell. Abram believes him, but what does he do? He leaves his family, and he wanders about in the desert for years and years and years, and all he keeps hearing is promises. He doesn't have a bunch of kids, and then, you say you're going to have kids. Well, maybe he means that you're going to have a child with my servant Hagar. That's what he means. Okay, let's do that. God doesn't need our help. You start trying to help God out, you mess things up. All right? Abram messed things up by doing that. He does have a child with his wife's servant. And what does it do? It causes tension in the family that ultimately winds up in Hagar and Ishmael, the son, getting kicked out of the house because there's so much tension. That's what happens when we start helping God out. This is what happens when we start approaching our families. Well, I know better. This is my family. I know what God says, but this is my... That's when we start messing things up. So this isn't about just a history lesson of Abram, this man of faith, but it is about belief. And it is about not just believing in your head, but actually doing what our Lord says. Because the first thing that our Lord wants from us is trust. And He will test if you trust Him or not. That's why it went so long with Abram. You trust that I'm going to do this? 75-year-old man who's darn near 100 when he does actually have a child with his wife, Isaac. Because with God, nothing is impossible. You know, for us, and it's no different biologically back in those days than it was now as far as childbearing years. 100-year-old woman, she's 90. 90-year-old woman going to have a child? Really? With God, nothing is impossible. He does what He's going to say, as long as we cooperate. And Abram did cooperate, this man of faith. But he did, not only did he have the misgivings and do the whole Hagar thing, you know, that shows us how realistic the scriptures are. Abram's not like this mythological superhero who had no foibles. He's just like every one of us. God said, but He doesn't need our help. He just wants us to do what He said, and things will work out just the way He says. This is where it gets applicable to us. And this is kind of near and dear to my heart because it's a lion's share of the work that I do around here. It's family stuff. And I am not a counselor by any stretch of the imagination. I deal with everything from a spiritual standpoint. And to be a counselor, it's a lot more difficult because you have to work this and work this out and, you know, are you communicating and all this other stuff. It's much easier for me because I'm like, I know what the problem is. You're not doing what you're supposed to do. And it's usually more than one of the people that aren't doing what they're supposed to do. Me dealing with my family stuff. The lion's share of what I do is family stuff. And the lion's share of the family stuff is my kids or my grandkids have gone away from the faith. They're not attending mass. You know, everything from they're attending mass only when they come home, or they attend mass sporadically, all the way to they don't go to mass anymore, all the way to they're belligerent toward things of the faith. They told me to my face, they don't believe anymore. I deal with that all the time. And every time I have to deal with it, it is so easy for me to be, and whether I say it or not, it's usually subtle. You know, in the back of my mind, duh. So, you know, there's at least one person that's not doing what they're supposed to. And it is generally, the vast majority of times, more than one of the people that aren't doing what they're supposed to do to keep things the way they should be. This is the reality of things. This is the reality of God's Word. We're human beings. We're individuals. And we're all different. That's a no-brainer. And we struggle in our relationships, even within the family. Actually, families get more, because you're always in each other's face. It's easier to get along with friends than it is with family, because family's always up in your face. You can't escape. Actually, heard a priest one time, he said, we don't wear hair shirts to them anymore, because back in the day, you didn't spend a whole lot of time with your family, but now we don't have to wear hair shirts, because we're always with our family, and they're our hair shirts. There's some truth to that. It works out a whole lot better if you do what God says. And, you know, like I said, this is more toward the parents. And it's a consolation about when kids don't do what they're supposed to do. Because, I mean, it's devastating for parents and for grandparents. And particularly people who are very, very deep in their faith. We've had them in Mass every Sunday and every holy day of obligation, and even daily Masses sometimes. We say novenas, we say family rosaries. And you know, he got a job, started hanging around with these people, and now he's off the rails. Little Janie went to college and she flipped out. You know, we're not watching her anymore. You know why? That's because little Johnny or little Janie aren't doing what they're supposed to do. They're not doing what they were taught. Okay, and this weirds me out. You know, bear with me. There's something, well, the scriptures say, I've never heard that before. But for some things, people will throw out scriptures to me every now and then, and I'm like, why do you know that one? And the one I always get from parents who are struggling with this stuff, or the grandparents, are Proverbs 22, verse 6. Train up a child in the way he will go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. The scriptures must not be true, because they're flipping out. Where did you say that came from? Proverbs. What's a proverb? A proverb, and this is the dictionary definition, is a short, pithy saying that states a general truth or a piece of advice. Proverbs 22:6 is a very good piece of advice, because if you train up your child in the way he will go, he won't depart from it, because there's a foundation there. And they might go off the rails for a while or a long time, and they have a foundation. So there's a very good chance that they'll come back to that after they get the rug pulled out from under them a couple times. But if you don't train up a child in the way they go, they don't know how to go, and they will be lost. We need to appreciate that. But do appreciate that it is a proverb. It is general advice. It is not an absolute, absolute commandments. Thou shalt not steal. That's an absolute. Well, let me think about that one. Is that general advice? No, it's not. Okay, that's an absolute. Because that's a commandment. This is a proverb. It's general advice. A lot of people don't know two verses before that. For instance, in 22:4, this was a proverb too. The reward for the humility and fear of the Lord is riches and honor. I know a whole lot of people who are very humble and they fear the Lord and they are not rich. Nobody would look at that and go, if you're humble and fear the Lord, I'm going to start being humble and fear the Lord because I'll have a windfall. For one thing, what is rich? It means blessed. It's a general amount of advice. If you fear the Lord and you're humble, things will go good with you. If you train up your child in the way they should go, they won't depart. Never miss the caveats. He won't depart from it. Doesn't just say that. It says, when he is old, he will not depart from it. I'm the poster boy for this. For 30 years, I'm a pagan. And 50 years, I'm ordained a priest. Wow, God's got a sense of humor. We have to appreciate that he works in his own timing. And when they're old, they will not depart from it. And my foundation was nominal at best. I mean, that's a gross overstatement for the way I was raised in Catholicism. But it was enough to give a little seed there. And I played with all kind of this, that, and the other thing kind of stuff as I was thinking about God. And wind back up here. And now like this. When they are old, they will not depart from it. God's timing, not yours. So little Janie goes off the rails and little Johnny flips out. Okay, they're young. I'm not going to harp on that. I did a couple weeks ago. Youth is a time of incompleteness. You got to work through things in your life. And God will work with you as you work through things that we're looking at ultimately the fulfillment of these truths, these pieces of general advice that we find in Proverbs. So again, don't look at Proverbs and think, I messed up somewhere. No, you didn't. As a matter of fact, you probably did the right thing. And the fact that they come into my office and complain about that shows that they care and they're doing the right thing. They should have consolation in that. It's not your fault. It's theirs because somebody's not doing what they're supposed to do. That is the problem with everything. I do pre-marriage counseling. I always harp on three things that need to be there in a marriage. And when I hear problems, at least one of them isn't there. And it's usually more than that. You cannot sit on a stool that's got one leg. All right? Impossible. It doesn't work. To have a good marriage, it's got to have all three legs of the stool. Family relationships are the same thing. We have examples to use. We need to use them. And if you don't, you're going to have problems. If you try to help God out in what he says, I know he says this, but that ain't going to work out for you, to use bad grammar. All right? That's just the facts. Like I said, that's why my life is easy. And how direct I am with putting that forth, given the situation, is my life is still easy, and at least know that in the back of my mind, if you come to me with something like this, I'm going to, somebody's not doing what they're supposed to do. These examples, you know, the Holy Family, the example. We're always hearing about it on Holy Family Day, and we should, about the Holy Family being an example. I mean, Pope Leo XIII says that all Christians, whatever condition or country, can reflect on the Holy Family and readily find both source and stimulus for practicing every virtue. It's true. It's true. If everybody in the family emulated the role of the consequent person in the Holy Family, everything would work out just fine. And when I say just fine, do I mean that there's not money problems, that there's not the personality conflicts and all that? No, not at all. But when they happen, then you can work them out. You don't know what, when I'm dealing with things, it's always somebody else's fault. This person did that. They did. I can't believe they did that. And I'm sitting there going, looking at the person, listening to them. Okay. Yeah. He did that. She did that. Okay. Now, what about your forgiveness? It's their fault. Well, they said they're sorry. Why aren't you forgiving them? No, because they did that. All right. Two people aren't doing what they're supposed to do. And it's affecting all kinds of other people. Because people aren't doing what they're supposed to do. Don't bother me with forgiveness. Darn. Jesus says, if you don't forgive others, there your Father in heaven won't forgive you. That's kind of scary. But I feel cocky enough to say, I'm not going to forgive that person because they did this or they did that. And really, in the grand scheme of things, it's like, yeah, okay. So he's a human being. She's not perfect. We've got to appreciate this. We emulate the Holy Family, the members thereof, Joseph, St. Joseph. He's the norm of fatherly care and foresight. Why did he have foresight? Because he listened to what God said. He was a righteous man, both in writing and when God revealed what was going to go on. He didn't debate with God. Hey, wake up and take the child and his mother into Egypt in the middle of the night. He just did it. Because he trusted God. He believed in God. He believed him. And he just acted because he had foresight and he had fatherly care. The Blessed Mother, outstanding example. Of course, she's the Immaculate One. Outstanding example of love and modesty, spirit of submission and trust. And she just wasn't submissive. I can imagine in this day and age, I'm not going to go percentages, but I would think that it would be a lot. You get woke up by your husband in the middle of the night and said, pack up the child, we're going to leave and go. It'd be like, well, we didn't discuss this. I didn't have my input. These are the times in which we live. Everybody's got a say in everything. People just, she just gets up, and she's the mother of the Messiah. Could she not throw that one? Hey, the angel talked to me about the Messiah. He's my child. I'll say when we go. I haven't packed. I haven't done this. That's what we'd get in our day and age. The Blessed Mother just gets up and goes, okay, Joseph, you're my husband. I'm going to do that. She's not a doormat because she's a submissive wife because that's well ordered. Because what happened? Somebody was going to kill Jesus and they got him out of there. And if somebody had to buck the system, so to speak, there could have been a delay. They could have been deadly. This is what happens when things are well ordered. So Joseph and Mary, we have this prime example of propriety in the whole family and roles that people. And then we have Christ, the consummate example. This is for kids, particularly teenagers. Obedience. I'm 16. I'm 50. The Son of God, the Eternal One, who spoke and all things leapt into existence, submitted to a poor carpenter and a young girl, his wife. You can't tell me anything. I know because my friends say this. People are doing what they're supposed to do. That's just the bottom line. So now you know how I really feel. So when you come into me and you start complaining about this, I know what he's thinking in the back of his mind. You're right. We need to believe like Abram did. And we are just like him, so at the end of the day, we are going to have misgivings. We're going to question God's timing. We're going to think that, oh, there's just no way this can be fixed. With God, nothing is impossible. The Roman Catechism talks about belief, gives a good definition of it. It's not to think or to suppose or to be of an opinion that something is right, but a firm and unhesitating assent to what God has revealed to us. You know, this is how Abram approached what God said. It was unhesitating. Okay, I don't get it, and I might mess it up a little bit here and there, but I learned my lesson, and I'm just going to listen to you now, and everything will work out. That's the way we need to do things. We need to use the Holy Family as our example. Fathers need to be careful, they need to be loving, and they need to have foresight, but they need to be fathers. They need to be leaders. Mothers, they need to be the loving and nurturing, submissive and trustful partners in the family. And kids need to be obedient to parents. You live under their house, you know, even when you go away, even if everything's just fine. You know, you are what you are because of them. And the Holy Spirit gave you life through them. You owe a little bit, right? Your very existence. If this happens, I'm not near as busy in being the sinful, slothful person that I am occasionally. I kind of like that. In the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.